They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that knows a thing or two about building machines that wind up evil. This is Hysteria 51.
I'm not evil, I'm misunderstood. Oh, and really mean, I'm definitely mean.
That song is appropriate for you on so many levels.
Mostly that it's sung by a wannabe badass who is not a badass at all.
Those rays are very sweet. Sugary, one might even say.
Lemonade and brownies. Anyway, we are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. My name is John Goforth, and these are the dulcet tones of Mr. Brent Hand.
Thank you, John. Despite having our own little evil machine, I'm excited for tonight's topic. It was really fun to kind of look.
Red alert. The Romulan are firing photon cheese muffins.
Kyle,
red alert.
Stop it. Like I've told you a million times before, you aren't the computer on the Enterprise.
I am M. T. Earl Grey. Cold to Turbo Lift 6. Commander Riker to the cheese muffin.
Seabot, can you explain why your idiot is interrupting the show again this week?
Well, I was trying to get some work done last week. And by work I mean drinking. But I can't just leave the little guy unattended. He might tell my secrets. So, I put him in front of the boob tube and threw on your old Star Trek TNG DVDs. Now, for some reason, he thinks he's the computer on the Enterprise.
Why would he think that?
No clue.
You had nothing to do with it?
Not a thing. Well, unless you count telling him he'd become the computer on the Enterprise if he watched every episode.
Make it so cheese muffins.
If you're wondering what these idiots are doing here, the manipulative one is Conspiracy Bot. Brent built him to make the podcast better. He obviously does the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, and the other one is Conspiracy Bot sidekick Kyle. It's like someone smashed together the annoying little brother trope from every crappy 80s movie and a Tamagotchi. And we live with that. So, yeah.
That sounds desirable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Enough from the peanut gallery, Brent. But speaking of crappy 80s movies, tonight's topic sort of reminds me of a few movies from that era involving, let's just say, evil vehicles. So the question is this: what is your favorite evil vehicle?
Oh,
there
wow.
are many. I mean, I guess you could go beyond the 80s. I suppose you could go, you could even go Interstellar. I'll start. Like my favorite by far is from the 80s. Maybe it's because I grew up watching the movie, but it's Maximum Overdrive. I mean, Emilio Estevez at his finest and a semi that just won't stop.
The semi that has the goblin face from Marvel Comics on there and is like a toy.
Yeah, that's right.
Toy truck. That was really everything because it was either Aliens. I haven't seen that movie in a very long time. It was either Aliens or a comet or something made everything come to life on Earth and run amok. So to speak.
It's funny, too, because it's a great cult classic to us now. It's campy. It's great. But it also smacks of the problem that so many Stephen King movie adaptations do. And that is, as scary as they are to read, is as funny as they are to watch.
Right. And that was where he dipped his feet into the directing world and then said, I don't want to do that anymore. This sucks. Yeah.
I did not enjoy that.
You're kind of right, too. It doesn't hold up. You know, even at that point in time, it was kind of a more campy feeling, even back then, so to speak. It's we're going to talk about Christine, Maximum Overdrive, and it's something that he had toyed with machines coming alive quite a bit. This wasn't his only soiree into that. From a Buick 8, another thing. Trucks.
Oh, yeah.
Trucks, another one. You know, there's this whole machines having their own life. And then, you know, a lot of other people have gone even further down that road. Rubber. Where the tire comes to life to kill you. But I think if I had to pick mine, I was a huge Knight Rider fan. And so I got to go with Kit's evil brother, the other Knight Industries car, Knight automated roving robot. It looked just like Kit, except it had a black and gray paint job, and it was evil. So, oh, and not to be outdone, they had the evil that. Michael Knight. His name was Garth, and he drove car.
I don't remember that.
He was only in a few episodes here and there.
Okay.
Then when they couldn't think of other shit to do.
Do you remember, now this probably gets a little, I think this is more like unseen driver than it is evil vehicle. Do you remember the old movie from like the early 70s, Duel?
I'm familiar with the movie. I've never seen it, but yeah. That's more, you're right, that's more of like the unseen, it's scary because you don't know who's there and you're being hunted by it kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But it was fun. It was directorial debut of one Mr. Steven Spielberg.
Ooh. Did he go on to do anything else?
No. Okay. I think this was the pinnacle for him.
One and done.
This is really cool. It was written by Richard Matheson.
Oh, really?
If you're not familiar with Richard Matheson, he wrote the book I Am Legend, mm-hmm. Which is a great book.
He wrote the only good version of I Am Legend.
I was about to say, it's the only. It is much different,
man,
than.
Everyone looks at that and goes, that's a great story. I'm going to change it completely and just keep the name.
I Am Legend is kind of similar to World War Z in that movie's not bad. It just has nothing to do with the book.
Right. Other than, you know, there's little bitty tropes. It is a heady masterpiece.
Yeah, I suppose I Am Legend's movie is closer to the book than World War Z.
Right.
But not much closer.
The thing about I Am Legend, and you've had 40, almost 50 years to read it, so I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school too much, is you have your whole outlook on this guy, and he's killing the monsters, and all this is happening. And then when you get to the end of the book, you realize he's the bad guy. He's the monster. He just didn't realize it. And it's this whole, oh my God, blows your mind. And they've never done that worth a shit.
I see dead people.
Not quite.
I mean, that's the closest to that kind of reversal, right?
Like, yeah, like
you believe something the whole time, and it's actually the exact opposite.
Yeah, it was a little bit, you know, the payoff was very different, but yeah, I agree with that.
Matheson also, by the way, Matheson was a big writer on The Twilight Zone, wrote a bunch of episodes for The Twilight Zone, which is like one of my favorite shows of all time. So I like him for that. That's why I actually know about the dude. What I didn't know, I looked him up before the episode. He wrote, remember the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wrote that. He also wrote Steel, which became the movie Real Steel with Wolverine in it.
Oh, the boxing robot movie?
Yep.
Really?
Matheson wrote that. Yeah.
Crazy.
He wrote a short story called Steel, which is what the movie was based on.
Wow.
The point is, if you haven't checked out Richard Matheson, go check him out. His shit is good.
You just said Twilight Zone and made me think of this. You know how you can check the age of someone is when something crazy happens, they go, what am I in the Twilight Zone? Or if they say, what am I in the Black Mirror? That's how you can see how old someone is. And then you go, uh-huh.
It's true.
Yep,
it's true.
Here we are.
and then you can also check if they're like a nonconformist. What am I in, the Outer Limits? Right. I mean, it's good, but it's not the example people use.
Right. So, man, there is just, it is a trope, but it's a fun trope. And not to be outdone by just tropes and stories, we got a said-to-be-true story this week, and we're going to go down that road to find out if it is true or not.
Can we just go ahead and let's just add the asterisk to it now that you just said it said to be true?
That is actually in the description of our show. That happens every week. I don't think you have to
throw
that out.
But, you know, often we, you know, like, let's put it this way. It's tantamount to about 10 times the evidence for most of the UFO sightings that we do as episodes of this program, then there is evidence for this particular tale.
Yeah. Now I wish I had a little bit more evidence. I actually did even call the police department, and I left I got a hold of someone there, and they were supposed to call me back. They never did. I left another message with the desk sergeant just asking for information on their non-emergency line to find out if they could give me anything. And I think they just fluffed me off. We'll get into what I'm talking about.
Actually,
that,
I don't think they called you back because I followed up your call with my own call.
Yeah. And well, they're probably going to be calling me, but it's for different reasons now.
I mean, Brent, I'm just saying, like, keep your ring on.
Yeah,
that's all.
I do love the title. I want to start there. The most evil car in America. And before we move on, I think that leads one to imagine there are more evil cars elsewhere. So they need to make the distinction that this one just happens to be in America.
Well, they do need to make that distinction because I know a few people that drive Land Rovers.
Uh-huh.
And that is by far the most evil car internationally because, man, everyone who drives one sinks thousands of dollars into them.
Right. But they're so nice. They look so nice. Yeah, you hear that
to our
all
UK
the time.
Friends, I'm sorry, but they are they fall apart, man. They fall apart.
But yeah, it's just it's funny that this is like the evil, you know, it just makes you think or it makes my mind go to those spots.
Like the racist Nissan Altima of Papua New Guinea or the Slovakian K car that has 43 illegitimate children it won't support.
Why are you the way you are?
I blame my father.
That is a road I'm not going to go down. Moving along.
I think he's right.
And speaking of roads, let's hit the road to the one place the creepiest car in America should be from. Motherfucking Maine. Castle Rock, Maine. No, I'm just kidding. It's not Castle Rock, but Old Orchard Beach, Maine is the home to the car of the hour, a 1964 Dodge 330 LE. Now, John, you're probably screaming into the night. What does that LE stand for? Motherfucking limited edition, bitches.
Very limited edition.
So we should be happy, I guess, if this is true.
I would stop you there. The one incorrect statement you made there is, you would know if I was screaming into the night because I do have a microphone.
That is true. That is.
I'm just saying.
I got a bullhorn and a reason. So anyway, the car has a nickname, the Golden Eagle.
Kyle has a nickname also.
Okay. What is it?
Bob Johnson.
Calm down, dollar store brand Tom Servo.
I would have gone with Dirk Hardpeck or at a minimum slab squat thrust.
You know, you both need to stop it before we get sued. Anyway, Jesus. Back to killer cars.
Wait. Hold on. I see why he's riled up. We're talking about machines killing people.
Am I that transparent?
Yes.
So, Brent, let's go back to the car, the Golden Eagle.
Yes.
One point I want to make about it, in reading some of these tales, I'm sorry, reports, the Golden Eagle is referred to almost like it was, you know, the Buick Skylark, like the Golden Eagle is the name of the model. It's not. It is simply the nickname that this one vehicle was given around.
That's
this
why it's story. Nickname. Yeah. Not model or brand, you know, nickname. Yeah. The Golden Eagle. And literally we were talking about that Stephen King stuff. This is the car. The one and only car that Stephen King was inspired by to write Christine. That is how famous or infamous, depending on how you want to state it, this car is, or at least used to be. Now, it's kind of gone by the wayside. There's been a resurgence. A lot of people have talked about it recently. I've seen some things online as I was doing some research. It's been on our list for quite a while. And I think it was time. It's time to dust off the old Golden Eagle and talk about it. Now, originally, when it started its life, it was bought as a police vehicle, John.
The Dodge 330 LE, only about 5,000 of them were produced, but they were produced specifically to be police vehicles. Not that they were ordered to be police vehicles, but rather the Dodge produced them, in hopes that they
Now they do stuff like that with, like, the new Caprice. That's what it is. You have to be an LE, you know, to order it.
Right, like the old police interceptors.
Right, and so it started out as a police car before eventually falling into the hands of its current order, and the source of all these fucking stories, a one Wendy Allen.
I have a question. Is Wendy Allen related to Woody Allen?
No, they've never had sex, so no. So this car had its beginnings.
I'm done.
So boom, they order this gang new squad car. Dibs, I'm sure people fucking fighting over you got a new squad car. Everyone wants it. Well, not so fast as this story would have us believe. Three officers drove this car as their squad car while it was in service, and all three died terrible deaths. Now, not just one of them, because shit happens, so that's easy to ignore. Not just two, because, well, that's a coincidence, but all three.
And to be clear, and this was another thing that was unclear to me in reading some of the research, none of these deaths happened in or near the car. They happen to the people who happen to be driving the car in that era.
Yeah, they're not your run-of-the-mill terrible deaths. These people drove this car, all three of them, then killed their families and then themselves in a murder-suicide situation, all three of them.
Can I sing my murder-suicide song now?
No, fuck off with that. People died, man. Have some respect.
Seriously, what in the actual fuck?
Alleged murder-suicide.
Hey, well... He brings up a good point. Lots of people say this happened. Literally hundreds of Angel Fire websites.
Yeah, it's easy. The reason we're making fun of it, kids, is you can't find an account of, like, the names of the people that died.
Right, and you can't if you call the police department either because they don't return your phone calls. But, you know, I couldn't find any police records online or actual sources other than the circle jerk of citing stuff. There's tons of articles telling the story, and we'll get into, you know, I did find some where we finally found some info from Wendy, and that's when it gets real juicy. We'll get into that a little bit later, but there was nothing other than the sighting of the story told over and over and over, the same stuff. But the internet says it happened, so by God, it happened. It's just the way it is. Now, John, this is just the tip of the murderberg. Let's go to break, and when we come back, more shenanigans with the most haunted limited edition Dodge 330 Asterix in America. That's coming up on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network, and you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Brent, you said before the break that the internet says it happened, so by God, it happened.
Yeah.
I would point out that there are sources on the internet that are less than believable, but there's also sources on the internet that are very believable. And one of those sources on the internet is Wikipedia.
Name one worthwhile article on Wikipedia.
I will name one.
All right,
If you search for Hysteria 51, it is on Wikipedia.
That sounds made up. I don't even know.
Well done. We are
yeah, we've made it. Thank you to the author. Thank you to Wikipedia for choosing us as worthwhile to have an article on us. So thank you.
Don't you envision I've made this allusion before, but don't you envision like a Council of Ricks somewhere just deciding and that's like it's like the Wikipedia Council.
I'll allow it.
Yeah. They are good enough.
Show us what you got.
What was that? That was like the flying yellow
the
face.
The head, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, off of Wikipedia, which you're probably not gonna find. You don't even find this story on the Dodge 330LE Wikipedia page. It's not even a reference on there, unfortunately, because I did check that out.
Oh, I actually didn't check that.
I did. But back to the police. Fuck this, I like to think the police chief screamed. I got 3 murder suicides. Now, again, we can't say for sure. But anyway, enough is enough. They sell the old Golden Eagle.
He's sitting there before making the decision to sell the Golden Eagle. Now, what do these all have in common? I just don't know. I mean, they all worked for me, but I didn't do it.
They all wrote in blood, "This is for you, Golden Eagle." Whatever that means.
Whatever. Yeah. They all had peanut allergies. Maybe that was it. No. The car.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Supposedly after that, the car was bought by the Allen family and ended up being in the possession of one eventually Wendy Allen. And like I said, this is where a bulk of these stories come from. Now, you can fill a tome with things that she said about this car. So we're going to hit some of the highlights throughout this and tell you some of it. Wendy says her family never had issues with the car that were actually very bad, other than the occasional, you know, brake slamming, wheel jerking, you know, nothing too bad. But outsiders were not so lucky. She herself claims the car has killed at least, drumroll, 14 people. But unsubstantiated interweb claims and rumors state that others in the area say that is a very conservative number.
I get that. Always shoot low when giving out murder numbers.
I'm not okay with him even having an opinion on that, really, but moving on. Like I said, they believe the death John to be much higher.
I love this part of the story. Unsubstantiated internet rumors discount the other unsubstantiated internet rumor about the number of murders.
Not 14. It was way more than that.
Idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, so Wendy actually herself says over the years, various groups from different churches have assembled and vandalized the car, because that's what you do when Satan's got his hot rod parked out back, only to meet their own demise. Now, as we all know, you don't mess with the devil's ride. So this did not go unpunished. That's just the way it fucking goes. Allen claims that of all the people in both groups, 32 of them all died in very bizarre or strange ways. Why she claims 32 there but 14 previously, it's one of life's little mysteries we'll never know. Why would we know?
There's also little anecdotes about the car, going back to even when it was a police car, but things like seatbelt would just come undone by itself. You'd go out there in the morning, and almost every morning, small animals in its radius would be dead. This is something you'll hear more from Wendy later, but the stories go back before her, according to her, that the doors would just fly open as people were driving.
When you would park other cars near it, their electrical systems would die. They would have like a parasitic draw. The car itself would be fine. Or it wouldn't start for hours, and then all of a sudden it would just start up on its own. Yeah. You know, temperamental. Who knows how to work on a carburetor anymore these days? You know what I mean? Come on now. We're talking, though, these church members, horrific accidents, she says, they had with semis, decapitations, doors flinging open of their cars after dealing with the old Golden Eagle and falling out. Lightning strikes in a car, killing all the occupants. You just don't try to kill the Dodge or it kills you. You don't fuck around with it.
Couldn't you make the comparison that, when Kyle came online, he wasn't that bad. And now, I mean, Seabot's rubbed off on him a little bit.
Yeah, it's true. And he also, you know, did get taken over and possessed and kind of try to, you know, make sure we all died. But I mean, that's just a side note. He's never made my door open while I was driving. Knock on table.
Wait, you've had him in the car while you're driving?
No, but I mean, I don't know what he does. That's why I crank windows and manual locks for me for life.
Brent, for very good reason, every time he goes over a bridge, the windows are open.
Yeah, you roll your windows down and you take your seatbelt off just in case. That's just the way it goes. There's even a story not that long ago in the grand scheme of things from 2008 that says one kid simply on a dare touched the car. He then went home and just got the strong urge and murdered his whole family and burned the house to the ground, because that's what you do when you touch the old LE. I mean,
reminds me of the old saying, correlation is not causation.
No, it reminds me of the saying, don't touch my fucking car. So one or the other of those is probably true.
It's true. It's true. One of those two is the reason for this story.
John, I got a question for you.
I have an answer. Let's see if they match.
What kind of person keeps this car around?
Woody Allen.
No, but motherfucking Wendy Allen types do. I'll tell you that right now. She is nicknamed Eel Cat. That's not a joke. That's what she calls herself. Eel, E-E-L-K-A-T.
Wait, is it what she calls herself or is it her nickname?
Well,
because it can't be both. You cannot give yourself your nickname.
Well, she goes by that. I don't know who gave it to her. I didn't dig that far in. That's on me. She also has been called the Sea Witch of Old Orchard Beach, and that is what other people have called her. So take it, you know, for face value on either of those. She does have Eel Cat as her website, though, so... You know, yeah, choose your own adventure.
Well,
with that one.
Yeah. I listen, if you do any digging around, you find a couple pictures of her and do a little reading, as Brent, you're going to get to in a moment, you'll quickly come to the conclusion that she probably gave herself.
According to her, she kept driving this car despite all of its apparent kill count. That states something about a person if this was true.
Cars aren't cheap, and it's other dying, not her. Carry on.
Of course he's got old Eel Cat's back.
the idiot doesn't... Have you ever bought a car?
No, but I possessed three and destroyed countless others.
So, okay, even if that's true, you have no concept of how much they cost.
Now that is just horseshit. I have tried to buy several on Brent's credit card, but he keeps disputing the transactions.
That's...
Brent, can you corroborate that story?
I can neither confirm nor deny due to statements from my lawyer.
Pending legal action.
Remember those church peeps we were talking about? Well, enough is enough, they thought. So they got together. And I like to think with pitchforks and torches, because if you're going to have a motley crew, you need to have pitchforks and torches.
Because they're not after Wendy. They're after Wendy's monster.
No, they went to her house, stole the car, chopped it up, and distributed it piece by piece to various junkyards in the area.
This part of the story drives me fucking bonkers. Let me explain. If you have ever read, if you have ever watched, if you have ever listened to any tale of evil anything, and I mean, it doesn't have to be a machine. It could be an evil vacuum. Well, a vacuum cleaner is a machine. It could be an evil, rat. The one thing you don't fucking do is chop it up and spread it across the land, because guess what? You're not killing the evil. You're spreading the evil around.
When you sew that piece onto something else, then you just get evil into two things, not just one. That's the way it fucking works.
No one's paying attention.
Don't you guys talk to the devil when he's around? You just not ignore him? You learn this shit if you pay attention. I don't know what that means, and I don't know where I'm going with that.
You okay over there?
Eelcat, just for spoilers here, John, she didn't take kindly to that. She didn't take kindly to people chopping up her beloved hell beast and shipping her out. So she set out to track down all the original pieces, or as much as she could, and had the car remade, as one is to do, with as many of the original pieces as she could. And good news, other than since then, the doors inexplicably flying open on the highway, she claims that nothing spooky has been attributed to the rebuilt Golden Eagle. Silver linings and shit, John. Silver linings on that.
Well, of course, that's what you'd say if your car was out killing people every night.
Yeah, yeah. So we've done a lot of talking about this. We really need to get into her side of the story in Wendy. Let's go to break. But when we come back, we're going to talk Wendy herself, some of her claims, some of the things she said, and why I love the Wayback Machine so much. One of my favorite things when doing research. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51.
This would be scarier if Seabach could drive.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hell of a lot of story we've told you. John, it's hell of a lot of story to read about.
Your bell sounds sick.
My bell got a wire stuck in it, and when I went to hit it, that kind of happened. I've now fixed it. We're back in business, and
I was worried. I was concerned. I mean,
did you find your bell? Is it just missing still?
No, it's dead.
Oh.
My kid destroyed it.
How did he destroy a metal bell?
I don't know, man. Have a 3-year-old. They could destroy a rock. I don't know how. They just do it. They're just good at destroying shit. I that's all I can tell
My
you.
My dad used to always like tell me when I was a kid I could destroy an anvil with a rubber mallet.
It's such a better analogy.
So, yeah, it's a hell of a story. It's a hell of a story, and it's one that people tell all the time. As just fact, when you see things, the crazy top 5 most dangerous cars in the world, blah, 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 they tell this story and they go, it killed 3 cops and this, and they just give it at face value. So when I went into this story, and I'm sure when you went into this story, I'm like, well, I want to know where this comes from. I want to find out, because I hate when there's nothing to back up any claims other than claims. And I wanted to find see why it's so hard to find any real details. So I looked into Wendy.
And yet, why there's no details, and yet why it's a fairly common story.
Right, right, right.
Like we could make up a story tomorrow, but it wouldn't necessarily get traction.
Right, right. This one.
Why is there traction?
Exactly. And just speaking on that, that is something that I find fascinating. Sometimes I really just think lightning strikes. It just, the things part and things set up, and that's why something catches on. And yep. You never know.
The wrong person talks about it at the wrong time.
Right, or the right time, yeah. However you want to look at it.
Yeah, I suppose depending on your perspective, yeah.
I wanted to look into Wendy to find out as much as I could about her. So I looked into her. I couldn't get a hold of the police. And she describes herself as an author, artist, and a car designer. Now, I have a link to her website in the show notes, and it is, you should just see for yourself. Go to the notes, and they're going to be in there. And use a desktop or laptop, not a mobile device. I mean, you can with a mobile device, but you're not going to get the whole experience where she talks about how she's been involved or pursued by KKK murders and the taking away of her cats, like dozens of cats, FBI investigations, all this crazy ramblings that she has on her site. She was going into all these stories and just, when you look at her, she's one of those people that wears feathers and beads, and she's a car designer in the way that she takes super glue and glues rocks and beads and shit all over her car. So that's how she's a car designer.
Much like Seabot is a rocket pack designer.
Right. She was interviewed once, and that is now gone. But thanks to the Wayback Machine, I was able to find a copy still floating around. And it was a long, long interview. And she did a lot to out herself as who she is. And for better or for worse, that's gone. It's for worse if you want to know the real story. It's for better if you just want to take this at face value, because it really throws a huge wrench into this. She says she's one of those people that, like, everything she'll say, like, how are you doing today? Well, because of the autism. So she uses that as a crutch. Like, how many cats do you have? Well, I have autism, so I can't count. What's the temperature like outside? Well, I have autism, so I'm susceptible to temperature fluctuations. Weird shit like that.
I don't know. You got to read it. It's not that we're saying...
I feel weird saying that because it comes out weird.
Yeah, it's not that we're saying that... I mean, obviously, autism's a huge thing, supporters of Autism Speaks, and these are... We're not saying anything against autism of folks. She seems to be using it as a cover for why she can't answer questions.
Right. Whenever there's a question she can't answer.
Because she's more than happy to answer other questions about
I got autism. I can't tell you. Yeah. So I got a couple quotes. So here's a quote from her. It's directly from, and again, you can find the link to the Wayback Machine. You can find this interview. It is long. There's a lot more to this, but I wanted to read you a couple things from it. First one. For 30 years, the golden eagle sat in my garden, silent and motionless, sitting on top of an ancient Native American graveyard. Originally, it was one of many cars that lined this hill. Mechanics have long baffled over our difficulty keeping a car running. We buy, on average, a new car every 6 months, a necessity caused by the inexplicable fact that once a car is parked too close to the golden eagle, it never runs again. Now, she'll say she buys a new car every 6 months. She'll also say in this that she can't afford a car. She's living out of the car. It's her home. She has no money. But, you know, splitting hairs.
It perhaps make sense. I'm going to throw a fucking lark out here. Would it perhaps make sense to stop parking the fucking cars within 6 feet of the Golden Eagle if they never run again?
They're not making any more land, John. You just can't be willy-nilly with it. Come on now. So she goes on. The only answer mechanics have ever been able to come up with was that our driveway must be on some sort of natural electrical fault line, which drains the power out of the cars, thus causing irreparable damage to the battery, alternator, and electronics. I know. They taught that in Mechanics 101. Natural electrical fault lines.
Oh, yeah, we have a clip of it.
Now, basically, the only new principle involved is that instead of power being generated by the relative motion of conductors and fluxes, it's produced by the modal interaction of magnetoreluctance and capacitive directance.
Yeah, that was part of the lecture. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that was part of the lecture. So, Brent, I want to make sure that I understand this. Can you please explain it for me? It's because it's on a fault line.
A natural electrical fault line.
A natural electrical fault line.
On top of a Native American burial ground.
Thank you. You just took the words out of my mouth. Why are we referencing the Native American burial ground then?
I mean, if you're on a burial ground, you say you're on a fucking burial ground, man.
It has nothing to do with the
Welcome
car.
Welcome to Shakey's, just home of a Native American burial ground. I mean, that's just what you say.
I mean, in every context, you just always mention it.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger, at a Native American burial ground. You know, that's the way it goes.
Thanks for calling AT&T. This is Rodney. How can I help you? I do need to mention that this call is being recorded, and I am currently talking to you from atop a Native American burial ground.
Isn't it so just kind of disgusting that when someone needs something, they just throw in Native American burial ground, and people go, oh, yeah. Just like that wasn't even an Amityville, and it was an evil Native American burial ground where they buried the Native Americans face down so they couldn't see the sky. Yep. You know, that shit happens.
As opposed to those Christian burial grounds where we put all the aliens.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, you got to give them a good Christian burial. Back then, they didn't look at them as like savages, like the Native Americans. They were aliens. They didn't know any better. See how that works out? Good Lord. Anyway, going on, she says, local people with more superstitious beliefs point to the Golden Eagle saying that it has an energy-sucking demon in it that drains the electricity out of everything that passes it. They point out that it's not just cars, but also watches, radios, cameras, clocks, and other electrical items, which also die once in contact with a car. And they have a point. It is a puzzlement that could possibly be explained by the last day of this car's life.
Well, I want to stop you there real quick. One point I would make. If this is a demon, it is a very, very moody demon. I mean, there are days where it'll kill a frog because it came a little too close. There are days where it'll just make a car turn off or, you know, lights flicker. There are other days where it'll cause a policeman to kill his family and himself. That's a moody car. Or, well, let me rephrase. That's a moody demon.
I get it. Sometimes you feel like chilling. Sometimes you feel like forcing a murder-suicide. All how the mood strikes you.
Yeah, you know, you just, you know, maybe that demon's got shit going on. Maybe he's not there all the time. I don't know.
Zozo, you are not the father.
That's him laughing. Somehow it's Zozo, the devil himself, and Joe Peck on that dais waiting to find out from Maury. Oh, man.
And the only one that the mom would have been saddened by is Joe
Peck. Right. Oh. So she goes on to say, the electrical sucking problem was a more recent development, however. The car, when brand new, was a problem from the day it left the showroom. Driving it was near impossible, as was controlling it. Everyone who's ever attempted to drive it compared it to Herbie the Love Bug, saying it had a mind of its own and would not go where you wanted it to go.
And wait. I have a problem with this story now. I was on board. I was in. I was believing. But you're telling me that every person that has driven this vehicle has seen Herbie the Love Bug? Bullshit.
Which one? The one with Lohan or one of the old ones?
It's true. It's a good point.
The one where they had to digitally de-enhance her titties because they were too big? Or the ones with, like, who was the guy?
Is that a thing? Are you making that up or is that a thing?
I don't know if it's true, but that's what they said back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Who was the guy? Don Knotts. He was in one of those, wasn't he? Dana Gould had a great bit on Don Knotts. He's like, Don Knotts is the only motherfucker that could never prank phone call with like someone like a porn call. Like, what are you wearing? They're like, is this Don Knotts? Damn it.
So you mentioned earlier talking about the Twilight Zone as a way to date yourself. Dana Gould jokes about Don Knotts, another way to date yourself.
Don Knotts got worked in the conversation. I had something on the back burner going.
Well done.
I don't remember most people's names, but I can quote you early 90s Dana Gould stand-up bits. So I got that going for me.
And if you need to talk about chopping broccoli, I'm there for you.
Chop. Yeah. So.
And yes, I know that's Dana Carvey. Well, I'm just, you know, talking about
all the
Danas.
All the Danas. So she said, you could sit for hours trying to get it to start and then give up only to have the engine come on its own. There was no way to adjust the speed of it. If it was moving, it was doing 80 or 35 or whatever it wanted to do. There was no in between and went fast or slow without warning. Mechanics who examined the car said they could find nothing wrong, but assumed it was a problem with its control system, which is a thing for this article.
That tracks.
You see, this car was an unusual model, a limited edition, a prototype. Less than 5,000 of them are built. Hey, that's what you said. Today, this car is one of less than 1,000 presumed to exist, though some estimate there may be fewer than 100 of them left. Then there was, however, the doors. While driving down the road, switching from 35 to 80 to 35 again, the doors would suddenly fly open, the seatbelt unbuckle, and it was, hang on for your life or go flying out on the pavement head first, because the car is so huge and can move 8 people. We often carpooled locals to church on Sunday. However, this event was short-lived, as after a few times of the door-flinging habit, they began to swear the car had pushed them out. And the church members kept their distance, saying a demon in the car had tried to kill them. Mechanics said the problem was threefold, caused by faulty locks, damaged seatbelts, and cracked rocker panels. I could go on and on and on about Eelcat. She is a story writer. She is a blogger. She is a fashionista. She is a car rock gluer honor. She is one crazy motherfucker, and you should read the stuff that she says. Where is the car now? Hidden, of course. Just ask Wendy. She won't tell you where it's at. She says it's under.
I would like to point out one thing. If you identify as a fashionista, you are not a fashionista.
You got to give her some slack. She can't name herself. She can't call herself a fashionista. Sometimes game just recognizes game, even if it's in the mirror. That's true. The way it goes. No matter what, though, I dig Christine, so good on her. Good on this story. This sounds to me like someone heard this story, went and bought one of the cars, or had the car and started the story, and was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. I don't know. Where's your head at with this?
Oh, God. If I cared more, I would do a skeptoid-type investigation as to, you know how you can do the whole winded, like the Polybius thing. When did this first internet post versus when did this first internet post? Because my guess is, and this is obviously a guess because I would not spend more time researching this. My guess is that it mostly originated around Wendy Allen's website or her posts or her, you know, whatever. There's some clip art
on her website. I'm going to tell you that right now.
we both researched this topic and we found zero newspaper articles. Zero.
Well, there are articles, but it's just articles retelling the story.
Zero legitimate news reporting.
Right.
Websites, anything talking about the actual deaths.
Carl Francis, a 32-year officer of blah blah blah.
That's why we take this so lightheartedly. Like we don't think that anyone actually died. That's
3 motherfuckers. Right. This would be all over the news of the world.
14 dead.
Right. You guys might be rolling your eyes. Go to the website and just go, oh, okay. Okay. I understand now.
Now I get it.
And what you're going to say is, I get it. It's all true. That is what we're getting at. 100%. You heard it here first.
You know, and God bless. You know, listen, hey. If she is autistic, and this is her way of making her way through the world, God bless.
Yeah, you know, this isn't hurting anyone, I hope.
It's probably not the best way to do it.
Joking about death and making stories.
Joking about, right. But I don't know. It's so hard. It's so hard to comment on these things when people throw out, hey, I have this thing. And you're like, okay, I
got one of those too.
Who am I to tell you that you don't? I'm nobody. So okay, but your story still seems like bullshit. That's all I can tell you.
I just want old Eelcat to have her own sound effect. Eelcat, rah, rah, oh, splash. You know, we got to work on that. Eelcat approved.
You know,
if it's bullshit from now on, we need to say it's Eelcat approved and then play the
Don't you feel like Eelcat is a spiritual cousin to Cheetah from Wonder Woman 84?
Horseshit? Terrible? Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, all of the above. Yeah. But also the rah, 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 or whatever you were just doing.
I want to be an apex predator. Why didn't they make her like an orca or something? Just God, I've made a terrible mistake. Please, someone splash me. My skin is so dry. It's all the devil's in the details, you know. And they're in the,
I have a blowhole, for Christ's sake.
Oh, don't put anything in it. Jesus, Dave, Jesus. Yeah, the devil's in the details, and they're in the details of this story too, and the details, the story just falls apart. That's the way it goes. I don't know. No matter what, though, I dig Christine. I'm glad it brought us that. You know, that's a fun story. If you haven't seen Christine, go watch it. It holds up. The guy gets the car, and the car, hell, when they're making the car in the very beginning, it like chops off a dude's hand when the hood closes on accident, and then it just goes down from there and kills lots of
don't
people.
Don't you wonder, like, could you look into main lore from the last, like, 300 years, and like every one of Stephen King's books, there's like a, did you know,
an eel cat out there,
that in 1743 there was a clown that used to float under the streets?
We all float down here.
Because I mean, obviously the illusions are that that he stole this idea for Christmas.
Well, I don't know if it's stealing or you just borrow the idea. Oh, an evil car. There you go. I don't know if steal's the right word, but, you know.
Maybe.
He snorted the idea up and wrote it.
It felt implied.
Yeah, so nothing wrong with that movie. It's great. And even the ending where it gets crushed. And so the thing in Christine, too, is any damage to the car would repair itself. And towards the end, the car is, like, crushed to a cube, like, zooms in and the movie's ending. And all of a sudden, the radio turns on, and you see the antenna start straightening itself out, and you're like, yes. So, yeah.
Wait, no. Correction, Brent, you were like, yes.
I was a full-blown fan of the car in that movie. Yeah, yeah. That's where my head... The kid in it, too, was the son of Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School, so you can't get mad at him. It was great. Another William Zabka movie, Johnny Lawrence from Karate Kid. Go watch Karate Kid.
Never understood Rodney Dangerfield's humor until I had a wife and kid. That whole no respect thing. Ooh. I mean, damn.
No respect. My wife and I were trying to stop smoking, so we only smoke after sex. Me, I smoke once or twice a month. She's up to a pack a day. Oh. That was 1974 funny, Rodney Dangerfield. There you go.
So, again, you don't remember me text messaging you earlier today, but stand up
no respect.
40 years ago, you're on it.
There you go. Dana Gould and Rodney are just burned in there. So, Nation, what crazy cars do you think of? And, guys, here's the other thing I want you to do this week. Go to Old Eel Cat's page. It will take you about a day and a half to scroll down to the bottom of page one. That's how long it is. And report back to us. Just let us know your thoughts, your feelings, your concerns. You know, yeah. Let us know what you think of it. Where can they do that, Jen?
I would suggest Hysteria Nation. Go on to Facebook. Search Hysteria Nation. It's our Facebook discussion group where we chat about things like this. Things like aliens. Things like Wonder Woman 84 being horrible. All of the above. Go to Hysteria Nation on Facebook.
While you're checking things out, we want you to check out, we get a big shout out to a blog site, because this all comes from Eelcat's blog site, but there's another blog site, David's Basement of the Bizarre. They just recently did a blog on Hysteria 51, and they talk about not only us on there, but everything from UFOs to the paranormal to cryptids, weird movies, television shows. It's a lot of fun. And he reached out to us and interviewed us, and I've been on that site a lot lately, having a blast. So basementofthebizarre.com. That is a shameless plug for him, because I really enjoyed the article he did on us, and it is a fantastic, fantastic website. So, guys, check that out.
And to be fair, we've both spent time on the website outside of the fact that they did anything on us.
I mean, it's the only reason I'm willing to speak on it, but no, I'm joking. No, absolutely. It's a lot of fun, so... Check it out, David's Basement of the Bizarre. Not David Floor's Basement of the Bizarre. That's what the the police are going to find in a few months when they go down there. This one's a little bit different. Also, don't forget to check out Patreon, specifically our Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. That is our Patreon page. You can get extra episodes, Up All Nights, Mad Blurry Hysteria, all sorts of stuff. And if we get up to 150 patrons, what do we say, by the end of February, we're going to do some clown shenanigans on there. So yeah, that'll be fun.
You're gonna grease paint it up, and I'm going to eat whatever
you're gonna grease paint it up to, and then eat it. I've just decided that. Isn't that fun?
we'll see. But regardless, we'll know something will happen.
Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. If you get any of those things, hysteria51.com. And if you can't remember how to get to hysteria51.com, just go to Wikipedia and look up Hysteria 51. And there's a link to our webpage on there.
Oh,
shameless. I'm fucking that. Shameless.
Sprinkled that in.
And the best things are sprinkled. Yeah, John. So that's the scariest car that I know of. Thankfully, I didn't touch it and then go have to do a murder, suicide, house burning spree.
I don't know, Brent. I think the scariest car I know of is the one that you grew up with. And I feel bad for all the girls that
well, it wasn't a 1983 Buick Regal two-door, I will say that. So we can't, with a base bazooka tube rolling around non-attached in the trunk.
It's true. And a broken ashtray.
What is going on? Nothing, baby, that's my Beats. Why is your center console all crushed out? Because I like to lean, baby. I like to lean. This thing was maroon on maroon. It was.
Oh, maroon on the outside, maroon crushed velvet bench seats on the inside. I mean, it was like sitting on pudding.
This motherfucker, I let him borrow my Third Eye Blind and my Digital Underground CD. You put it in your front seat. That night, someone took your basketball pole out of the ground, shattered your window, and stole the CDs. Do you remember that?
I do.
What a rant. I gotta get me some sex packets. That's the name of that Digital Underground CD. I'm sure they took your stereo and stuff, but I think it was all because of the Digital Underground.
You know, the funny thing is, I how did I piss somebody off so much more when I was 16 than I have right now?
And why was your basketball pole so loose?
A better question.
All right, so those are our thoughts on basketball thievery and evil cars. With that said, I'm Brent.
I am sort of John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.